Your meatballs?
Huh? A little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a bigger pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet. My country, 'tis of thee. I eat for social progress. I eat for victory.
You want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the Wine Country's most delicious hour. I'm Michelle Anna Jordan. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Wow, the first week of July already. Oh, hope you had a good weekend. Did you make it to Chicken Teriyaki at the Inmanji Temple in Sebastopol? I was not able to go this year. Sad, but true. I had a conflict. Anyway, passed by early this morning and the parking lot was definitely full. And a lot of friends went. Always a great event. It was the 58th annual Chicken Teriyaki Barbecue this year. Hope you got to a farmer's market. Summer's harvest has really kicked in. And I'm hearing from a number of people that we should have local tomatoes any minute. And we do have, I think, two producers now with Padron chilies. And we're talking tonight about a subject that definitely touches upon the farmer's market in a couple of different ways, though it's also in a broader context. And there is, I guess you would call it a program, a promotion going on. I believe it's nationwide and statewide and countywide called Rethink Your Drink. And have two and possibly a third joining us in a little bit, people to talk about what's going on. And you're going to have a chance, if you want to go to the Wednesday night market this week, you will have a chance to taste what's going on. We have with us Nora Bullock. She's a registered dietitian, has a master's degree in public health, and works for the Northern California Center for Health and Well-Being. Did I get that right? No, Well-Being.
Yeah.
Well-Being. And then we also have with us Samantha Hannon. Said it right. I know that you have a catering, your own catering company, but that you're also the volunteer coordinator for the Bodega Bay Farmers Market.
Yep.
Okay, well, thanks so much to both of you for joining us. I'm going to get you a little closer to the microphone. So, in a nutshell, who wants to talk about what is Rethink Your Drink?
I'll talk about it. Rethink Your Drink is a statewide campaign that we're doing to encourage people to drink fewer sugar-sweetened drinks and drink more water, particularly tap water, which we're promoting as very healthy. So on Wednesday night, we're going to do the a water tasting contest, and people are going to try, all sorts of different flavored waters.
And by flavored waters, what specifically are we talking about?
So actually, I brought some today to taste. What we're encouraging people to do is to use fruits and vegetables to flavor tap water. And so I have here a strawberry-flavored water, and then I have my favorite, which is pineapple mint.
Mm. Now, we're not talking about agua fresca, which is the drinks that... they're Mexican in heritage,
right.
And you're starting to see some other people doing them. And that's where the fruit is pureed and sweetened and stirred with the water. We're talking about just putting in small amounts of fruits, vegetables, and maybe a few spices or herbs.
Right.
So you're not getting any... It's basically the same calorie as tap water, which is none.
Right.
And you're just getting...
the flavor of that in a very subtle way.
Right, and they're actually quite beautiful as well. So that's appealing. So you get, it's a subtle flavor, and you are getting some nutrients because they're going to seep out into the water. So, and it's another way to encourage people to eat more fruits and vegetables.
How long has this campaign been going on?
So this campaign has been going on for quite some time, and it's through the Network for Healthy California. But this kickoff event is the one that we're going to really do to get it going, because the problem in California is that 2/3 of adults are overweight or obese, and 1/3 of children are overweight or obese. And what the research is showing is that it's related to sugary sweetened drinks. And so the idea is, when the USDA put out the 2010 dietary guidelines, it was to reduce sugary sweetened drinks, and because they increase calories, which are related to overweight and obesity, and they have few essential nutrients. So the idea then was to just think about rethinking your drink and drinking more water, which is really the best drink for all of us.
Now, I can imagine some people might immediately say, well, I don't drink sweetened drinks. I drink diet drinks. So why do I have to think about it? What can you say to people like that?
Well, the problem with diet drinks are two. First of all, we don't really know. The evidence is not really clear mm-hmm. as to whether they're good for us or not, mm-hmm. right? And the second thing is they... you know, as a diet cola has phosphoric acid in it, which leaches the calcium from the bones. So again, that's not really a healthy alternative. And really, water is the best drink for all of us, for our children, for our parents, for all of us.
What sort of response has this campaign had so far?
Well, it's been wonderful. We've been at farmers markets. We've been at the Center for Wellbeing. We actually are funded through the County Health Services Department mm-hmm. and the Human Services Department. And so what we're doing is we're training promotoras and health promoters to help us get our message out. And one of the things we're doing is working with people who have CalFresh, which are food mm-hmm. stamps, formerly known as food stamps. And so we're going to farmers markets. We're actually going to the CalFresh office. We're going to be going into homeless shelters. We go to schools and churches, and we bring our message and a lot of delicious flavored waters.
Mm-hmm. It's really interesting. Just when I was driving here a little bit ago, there was some really weird thing on the news that a school in, I believe, Utah was fined $15,000 because they let their vending machines for Coke operate during lunch. Uh-huh. Now, students could buy a Coke before lunch, and they could even drink it during lunch. They could buy a Coke after lunch and drink it, but they weren't allowed to purchase a soda during the lunch hour. That is sending the weirdest mixed message. It's like people are twisting themselves into pretzels to try to put a little bit of common sense into this. And it's like, why not take the soda machines out of schools?
Right, yeah. Right. And I think that's happening, but we need to do more work. Mm-hmm. So, and I think the simplest message is that drink water. It's the best thing for you, and quenches your thirst. And if you would like a little flavor, add some mint or lemon or pineapple. Mm-hmm. Or.
And I think, you know, people see that. People who go out to eat, they see that everywhere. I mean, it's very common to get water that has a slice of lemon in it.
Right.
You know, they come into your table and pour from a pitcher, and there's, you know, several slices. The same is true with mint. And then a few years ago, a number of restaurants started adding cucumber mm-hmm. slices. And that's just so wonderful when it's hot out.
Yeah.
It's just so refreshing. So in a way, this is sort of an extension of something that's already been quite common
right.
for years.
And one of the women I work with, she's a promotora, and she was...
Now, what is that?
A promotora is a health educator, Spanish-speaking health educator, okay. Volunteers. So we have promotoras, and we have health promoters. So promotoras communicate with the Spanish-speaking, and health promoters communicate with the English-speaking. And so she was suggesting in the winter that we do apple hot water with apple and cinnamon. So I'm looking forward to that.
I was thinking a lot of these waters would be so good like a tea. You know, I love to put mint in my in a hot water.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Minted lemon.
Yeah.
So.
And let's bring you into the conversation more now, Samantha. One of the things that will be happening at the farmers market on Wednesday, down near the main stage, and the way, if I understand it correctly, all of the farmers markets in Sonoma County have been invited to submit a recipe for a signature water.
Yeah.
And then on Wednesday, early in the day, first of all the ingredients will be gathered up from farmers markets. And the apprentices at Worth Our Weight Culinary Apprenticeship Program will be preparing all of the waters. And then they'll transport them over to the market. And those waters, everyone who comes to the market will be able to taste for free. And they'll vote on them anonymously. They won't know. You can't vote for your favorite market because they'll just be identified by a number. But at the same time, at another part of the area will be what we shall call celebrity or Sonoma County well-known people with their waters, which will be there for tasting, but not for voting. And the kids at the apprentices at Worth Our Weight, they were so excited that they're also going to do their own signature water that will be available to be tasted. They really loved this idea.
Good.
So, and you're representing Bodega Bay, and you don't have to say. I know you have several different things here, so you don't have to say exactly which one you're entering. But tell us about what you've been doing with it, Samantha.
With the water, you know, when the Rethink Your Drink people contacted me, I first thought to call the produce vendor and see what you know they had available, and there's so many options. And I spoke with Diana Bundy, who helps. We manage the market together.
Oh, okay.
And she had a great idea of some edible flowers and some other ingredients.
Roses, I think, would be particularly nice.
That was something we thought of. And we are going to go with nasturtiums.
Oh.
And we thought a lemony, peppery water. It will be just a little bit different. And so it should be fun. And it tastes pretty good. I mean, it's different. It's not a sweet. It's like a spicy, and I've seen some new spicy soda, so that's, I think, kind of a cool...
Yeah, there are some. There's one brand of spicy soda that is so strong.
It is.
Oh, my gosh.
It's, is it Prometheus?
Yeah, I think it's Prometheus.
It was. I just tasted it, and it's very interesting.
It just sort of knocks your head off. Then I tasted one. It's carbonated.
Yeah.
Up in Seattle a couple of weeks ago, and it was much more subtle than the Prometheus brand, but it was things like... cucumber mint.
Yeah.
And other, mostly savory, not with added sugar that I could tell. And I've got to find out. I didn't get the brand name. There was a lot going on that night. But I'm going to get the brand name and see if there's a local market who might want to carry it. Because these were really delightful. But we're getting a little bit off. But you also have some things. You brought some other things to taste.
Yeah, I brought a vegetable and fruit smoothie. And I think these are so good because opposed to like a vegetable juice where you lose all the fiber, when you just, you know, blend it all up, you get all the fiber. So there's over a pound of spinach in here.
Wow.
But you couldn't tell. And then there's quite a bit of plums that a friend gave me off her tree and peaches from the farmer's market. The spinach is from Bloomfield Farms and plums, apricots. And there's also yogurt and nuts.
Okay, so that's a smoothie. So we're going to taste that a little bit later.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, I knew there'd be water. So I thought...
This is the next...
Yeah,
and it's a great concept, and it's gorgeous. It's this most beautiful green.
And I think kids would love it if they didn't know. I mean, a lot of kids get weirded out about spinach.
Absolutely.
But the color's so fun and cool. And
and kids love smoothies.
They do.
Kids definitely
love smoothies.
And this
is dessert. I mean, it's so good.
Cool. So why don't we taste some of the waters first?
Yeah. Sure.
So we're going to start with your favorite. Is that your favorite
this
there?
This is my favorite. This is the pineapple mint. Do you want to try that?
Mm. And it always sounds so... One of our favorite sounds here on Mouthful.
I love the smell of the mint.
All right. Do you want to try that? Do you want
I have been wanting to try something with cilantro. And I've thought of a couple of different things. And right now I'm leaning towards carrots.
Mm.
Leaning towards carrots and cilantro.
Maybe a bit of ginger.
A bit of ginger, maybe some cumin seed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see. Oh, so refreshing. And the, it's interesting because the mint is nearly as, is equal in intensity to the pineapple.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we should say is, we should emphasize, you're not drinking pineapple juice when you drink something like this. You have a small amount of pineapple that's been sliced and put into the water. And one thing I'm finding, and I'm new at this, but I found, I made one with blueberries, and I just used a quart mason jar and probably maybe half a cup of sliced blueberries. But I find I can top that off. You know, I drink a glass and add more water, and that it stays very refreshing for several infusions.
Right, right. And what we do is we'll cut up the fruit and add the herbs, and then we put them in the little bit of water, and we put them in the freezer, and so they get really cold. And then when we serve them to all of our participants, they still have just a really nice flavor. And eventually you're going to get, the fruit's going to break down, so you're going to even get some fiber.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So you will eventually consume the fruit that's in the flavored water.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to take a little musical break here on Mouthful. We'll be right back.
I heard tell of the miracles my blessed Savior done. He took a great big ball of fire and poured some blazing sun. But out of turning water, he said, go check them urns again. I think you'll find that they're all full of wine up to the brim. Water into wine, my Lord done something fine. He saved my soul and gave me peace of mind. Now there's no cause to worry, cause everything is fine. Ever since he came and changed my water into wine.
So if you're headed down, boy, and you can't afford a drink, I hope this little parable is gonna stop and make you think. Fear not, brother. Take his hand. He'll bring you peace of mind.
He'll crash your evil party and change your water into wine. Water into wine, my Lord done something fine. He saved my soul and gave me peace of mind. Now there's no cause for worry, cause everything is fine. Ever since he came and changed my water into wine.
That was Water into Wine, which isn't exactly what we're doing, and I apologize for that, those skips. Cranky CD player tonight, you know, it sometimes happens. I wanted to talk now about tap water.
Sure.
I think people have a lot of questions about tap water. I know if you live in New York City, you are among the luckiest people in the world. The first time I was in an apartment by myself, I was in a publisher's apartment, and I took a sip of tap water because I was desperate and there was nothing else in the house. I stood there, and I must have had like five or six glasses. It was the best water I had ever tasted in my life. New York City is blessed with extraordinary water. In some places in California, that's true, and in some places it isn't. So let's talk about California tap water, if we can. And that is, so Nora, you you work a lot with tap water, right?
We do, and what we do is we encourage people to drink tap water because it's safe. You're not consuming, you know, using all those plastic bottles.
Yes.
And, you know, and if you just fill your reusable bottle with tap water.
Yeah, and those reusable bottles shouldn't be plastic, please.
Right. you're going to, you know, it's going to be fine. And particularly for people who have CalFresh, you know, it's better to use and healthier to use the tap water than to buy water.
Now, what is a good option for people in the outlying areas? And I'm one of them. Is there a good, I mean, my tap water tastes horrible. I'm on a well. Mm. And we found out that we have colloidal iron in our tap water, and there's no filtration system that you can put at the end, you know, just mm-hmm. there's no filtration system that will work. So I have 5-gallon bottles of water for drinking.
But you can reuse those.
Oh, you can yeah, they're recycled, but I don't have an option. I mean, I don't have an option when it comes to just drinking. I can't drink a glass of tap water because it tastes so terrible.
So do you filter it through, like, a Brita filter?
No, because it doesn't take out the iron. Mm. It doesn't take out the colloidal iron. So I think in that instance, you have to look for a good alternative. But if you have city water, I mean, I'm like 50 yards away from having city water. Uh-huh. If you have city water, you're fine.
Right. You really are fine.
Yeah. Yeah. And does anyone here know much about why that's the case? I mean, what is in place for making sure that tap water is good and safe?
I know that there are reviews done, and you can find out if your water is safe also.
You can go to the county.
Right. You sure can.
Yeah. That you can actually take your water in and have it mm-hmm. tested, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's... tap water is a good thing, even if you don't live in New York City. And, you know, some tap waters will have different flavors. Someone was telling me if your water ever smells like chlorine, you just put it in a pitcher and wait a little bit and that chlorine blows off. Is that, you're both nodding?
Yes, that's true.
I've heard the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And now are you living in Valley Forge?
I live in Bodega Bay.
You doing? How's the water out there?
You know, I think it's great. Okay. I always drink out of the tap. Mm-hmm. We don't have any kind of
I have a well, so that's why ours is bad. It's the West County Wells because there's just a lot of iron in the West County Wells.
That's my understanding too.
Yeah. So I'm curious, Nora, and you're going to schools, all mm-hmm. these different locations. What sort of responses are you getting from kids?
Oh, well, this particular strawberry water is a favorite, and I think it's because it has a really sweet pink color. So mostly what's been interesting is we do a display that shows the amount of sugar in all the different drinks, and one of the drinks that's shocking to a lot of parents is those packet drinks that are fruit drinks, to know that how much added sugar is in those, because they'll say, oh, that's what I'm giving to my child. But my experience with children is that if you serve them the water with a smile on your face and tell them how delicious it is and wonderful, and you show them how much sugar is in a can of cola, they are completely shocked by the amount of sugar and very happy to drink the water. And so we've done all sorts of waters. One of the favorites in an elementary school where I work in Healdsburg is watermelon water. Mm-hmm. So, you know, chopping the water. Yes. And then I have the children make it with me. Uh-huh. And then they love it. So I think kids are very open to mm-hmm. eat drinking and, you know, healthy eating and healthy drinking. And honestly, the research shows if you present it to them with a smile on your face and tell them how wonderful it is, they believe us, which is good. They should.
Yeah. What sort of aged kids are we talking about?
The children that I work with in the elementary school are kinder, first, and second.
Oh, you're getting them at the right age.
I am.
I can just imagine. I can just see, you know, the eighth or ninth grader. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's got a lot of sugar. Fine. This tastes good. Now give me a Coke.
Although I have to say that when we show eighth and ninth graders the amount of sugar that is in a soda, they're shocked. So imagine here's a 20-ounce soda. Can and there's
that's,
20
that's
ounce.
Big
yeah and so there's 17 teaspoons of sugar in a 20 ounce soda. Okay, imagine, would you ever put 17 teaspoons in a cup of coffee? of sugar? Or if you were making lemonade for your children, would you ever put 17 teaspoons of sugar? So I think when we present it to them in that way, they get it because
that's more
it's
than
very
a cup.
Concrete. Yeah, it's a lot of sugar.
That's more than a cup. So, and do we, I mean, you hear a lot, like with Bloomberg, Mayor Bloomberg,
yes,
banning the large size bottles. So right. People are consuming way more than 20 ounces a day.
Mm-hmm.
So people are consuming 3, 4, 6 cups of sugar
just in
what they're drinking.
Well, the average California teenager drinks 39 pounds of sugar in sugary drinks every year. And 62% of teens are drinking one or more sugary drinks a day.
Oh.
So it's a lot of sugar.
It's a lot.
And it's hard. I think it's hard for parents because the food industry is spending $500 million a year advertising to kids, and sugary drinks are widely available.
Yeah.
Do you think parents are also drinking a lot of sugary?
Well, I think that a lot of us are drinking more sugary drinks than are good for us. And the thing that I think parents have to remember is they're the role model. They're the one that buys the food, prepares the food, serves the food. So if they drink the water, their children are going to learn to drink water.
Yeah. Now, there was a movement in schools, let's see, probably 10 years ago or a little bit more. I covered it a bit for Diablo magazine over in Contra Costa. And I interviewed a couple of pediatricians and several schools. And some schools had succeeded in getting soda machines out or getting all of the soda out and filling it with water. I think at that point they were doing water and milk.
Mm.
Has this caught on? I haven't seen much about it in a while. Is that movement still spreading through California of getting soda dispensers out of schools?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It is absolutely spreading. I think the other thing that we have to also remind ourselves, it isn't just soda, it's also sports drinks and energy drinks and fruit drinks. And the other thing that we have to notice is that on the front of any kind of label of any kind of drink is the marketing. And so we have to teach people to read the food label.
That's a really good point. Yeah. It's all marketing. It's all designed to catch your attention and make you want it.
And we have an innate drive towards sweet carbohydrates, so we're fighting our instincts, you know, because our instinct says get sugar and carbs as easily as possible.
Absolutely.
And so we have to kind of retrain ourselves to, you know, it's just too accessible to us.
You know, it's interesting.
We don't have to go forage the apple off the tree.
Exactly.
You know,
do we have much comparison between United States in this arena and other countries?
Well, I think what's happening is that it's spreading. And so
we're exporting the habit.
That's exactly right. And the thing about America is in America, you can eat anytime, anywhere, any place, anything. And so we're constantly exposed to food cues. And it is our nature to eat what we see and to drink what we see and to like sugary, sweetened anythings. And so we have to educate our population so that they understand that this is not the healthiest option and that an unhealthy weight can lead to diabetes, heart disease, and certain kinds of cancers. And so we want to help people understand that they have control over that. And one of the things they can do first is drink water rather than any sugar sweetened beverage.
On that note, let's hear a little bit about water. It's Mouthful, and the song was appropriately Tap Water, and the band, one of my favorites, Dengue Fever. We are talking with Nora Bullock, registered dietitian with a master's degree in public health, and who works with the Northern California Center for Well-Being. Got it right that time, I think. And also Samantha Hannon, who is one of the two volunteer coordinators for the Bodega Bay Farmers Market, which is currently underway. It, you can visit that market from 10 until 1, right? 10 until 1 on Sundays. And it's, I love that market.
Oh, thank you.
It's just such a special area.
It is.
And it just, it feels really good out there.
Yeah, I say it's the farmers market with the best venue.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really great venue. How was it today?
It was really great. It was a great market. It wasn't our biggest market.
Mm-hmm.
We were down two vendors, so we had 14 vendors.
Mm-hmm.
And every single week we've had amazing weather and lots. I mean, our parking lot just fills right up,
uh-huh.
And it's been so fun and just so positive. I think the community really, really appreciates it.
Yeah, and it has that real community feel.
It really does.
Yeah. Now, you are a vendor as well as... Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's how I got involved. I've had a catering company, Northwest Catering, and I wanted to vend there.
Mm-hmm.
Organizer of the farmers market told me, well, you can come if there's a market, but I don't know if there's going to be a market.
Oh.
Cause she was, she had to leave the area.
Mm, okay.
And so, you know, I told her, well, I could help some. And so, you know, throughout some organization, we all got together and made the market happen. And we are vending there,
mm-hmm.
My catering company. And we're doing, what's cool about us, what's special about us is that we source, like, I think it's about 95% of our ingredients from that farmer's market. Mm-hmm. Not just from farmer's markets, but from that farmer's market.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything comes from Sonoma County minus mustard seeds,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we make everything ourselves.
Mm-hmm. What sort of things just take today? What did you have?
Today we did our burger and we used our beef from Freestone Ranch,
mm-hmm.
and we used cheese from the Acadena Cheese Company, mm-hmm. and the Chivas Cheese Company.
Uh-huh.
And so we do cheeseburgers, we do salads with Bloomfield Farms greens. And then our real special today was a duck breast sandwich, and we used our duck. We got duck from Salmon Creek Ranch, and we just seared them like medium rare. Mm-hmm. They're really delicious with greens again from Bloomfield Farms and our house mustard. And Ryan, my partner and chef, he made a blackstrap molasses barbecue sauce for that.
That sounds good.
It was really good. Uh-huh. And then, you know, we do a breakfast sandwich. It's 10 o'clock, so people are really wanting breakfast. And we offer either eggs from chickens or we also offer duck eggs.
Because Salmon Creek is there at the market.
Exactly. And then we also get our chicken eggs are from Freestone Ranch. So I pretty much buy our eggs like 2 days before the market.
Mm-hmm.
I go to the farm, I collect everything. It's the coolest because we get to just serve the freshest food.
Yeah.
So.
It's interesting. I was reading, we're deviating a little bit. We will get back to water. But, you know, Mouthful is a conversation, and that's what I love about it. There's a new book out, and I can't remember the title, but maybe our crack engineer here will find it. It's against the whole idea of locavore. A word I hate. I like local.
Yes.
Don't need invented words. But it's in praise of the 10,000-mile diet. And it's talking about how this whole idea of hyper-locally grown foods is ruining farming.
Well, I mean, I definitely appreciate super high quality foods that come from mm-hmm. anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
You know, again, we buy our mustard seed, you know, from the spice company mm-hmm. in Petaluma. So, you know, I know that it's not local mustard seeds. And we do use some olive oil from Italy for cooking. So that's like part of our 5%. But then, you know, Dan from Buyer Be Olive Oil, we use his oil mm-hmm. Fresh, you know, for our salads.
We've got all kinds of fresh olive oil here.
Exactly.
The thing I thought was interesting, you were nodding.
I just heard a little bit on the radio
okay.
when he was talking about it, but I don't know much more about it, so I'm curious.
The feeling that I got, and I read a I think probably PR material about the book. I got it where they were taking it to the illogical extreme and suggesting that perhaps people who were really into local foods wanted to outlaw foods coming from other areas and stuff. And it's like, oh,
certainly not.
No. No, that's not what's happening. And it also seemed like it was written, and the person who sent me the link to it suggested this. He said this is an East Coast versus a West Coast thing, because it was written by people who live on the East Coast. And, you know, you have an entirely different growing season there.
Sure.
Though you do have a lot of really very fertile farming areas, Long Island.
Yeah, and upstate New York.
Yeah. Yeah, in Pennsylvania. But here, we do have a year-round growing season.
Yeah.
But also, Jill Adams, who had Crescent Moon Farm, I think you arrived after Jill left. We have lost Jill. Jill is gone. She had Crescent Moon Farms and was just made an amazing impact. She's just a magical farmer. She is now farming year-round in Maine.
Wow.
So I think that with anything like this, it's like, keep your wits about you, you know?
Of
don't
course.
Be insane.
Yeah, I think with anything, you know, you don't need to go to the extreme.
Yeah.
So a healthy balance, you know. And there's a lot of reasons to support the local, I mean, the local economy. Hmm. You know.
Keep land and agriculture.
Yeah, I like to know the person who I buy the food from, because they don't have to even read the label. I can talk to them. And
Absolutely.
I know at the Veterans Farmers Market, the one at the Vet Center, they're going to start taking the EBT card, which is the CalFresh card. And one of the encouraging things about that is that if we encourage people who have CalFresh or food stamps to use the farmers market, first of all, they're going to be getting fresher and healthier food, but also we're going to keep that money in our local economy.
Yes, a really
and,
good point.
That seems really valuable.
Beneficial. Yeah. I think it's really important.
I think a big thing about local is that when you get something that was just picked, it's just more nutritious, period.
Right.
I mean, any food that doesn't have to go in a refrigerator or travel more than a day, you know, because after that 2 day, things start breaking down.
Right, and you lose the antioxidants. They float back into the atmosphere.
And it tastes better.
Yeah, it does taste better.
It tastes better. I figure eat local when you can.
When you
know, eat local when you can. And what I mean by when you can, not because it's like, oh, it's easier to go to that other store. It's like if you have something, if you can get an apple from Sonoma County or an apple from China, choose the Sonoma County.
Or chili.
Yeah. You don't need an apricot in January. Wait till you get it here.
Or a tomato in the...
Don't even get me started on tomatoes.
But
let's go back to water. Speaking of tomatoes, have you tried tomatoes?
I haven't tried tomato flavored water. I think it's a really fun idea.
Tomato basil.
Tomato basil would be really nice. We have done basil and cilantro, of course, cucumber, mint. The other one that I really like, it's not a vegetable, but is, of course, oranges, lemons, and spearmint is lovely. But, yeah, I think you could do celery-flavored water.
Celery, that's nice. A great idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a really great idea. I think you could do lime and cilantro.
Oh, yes.
That sounds
good.
That would be really, really good. Yeah. I really do want to try the carrots.
Yeah.
I may go home and I think I have all the ingredients.
Like, would you shred the carrots?
No, I would. I don't think I would. What I would do is I'd peel them.
Okay.
I would cut them thinly but in diagonal slices just to open up.
Yeah, surface area.
Yeah, open up surface area. So I think I would slice the carrot. I'd probably use one for a quart, one small carrot. And then I would probably throw in just, you know, a big pinch of cumin seed and a sprig of cilantro. See what happened overnight.
Yeah. Well, it will be fun on Wednesday night to see what the winner is.
How many, I didn't even find out how many different participants, you know, how many waters do you think there'll be?
Right, I don't know. Do you know yet?
We're speculating, or when I was getting press releases about it, there's speculation, 9 to 10.
Great.
That's the guess, 9 to 10.
Okay.
But we won't know until, a young man who works for the county in one of the agencies. There's several agencies involved in this.
Right.
He will have gathered up all the recipes and will be doing the shopping on Wednesday morning.
Okay, I think that might be Jay.
It's Jay. Yes,
wonderful.
It's Jay.
Yeah, and he works for the Department of Health Services.
Oh, okay, yeah. I didn't know Jay's last name.
Macedo.
Then Maya Wood, who I have to say thanks very much to Maya Wood. She got you guys here.
She did.
And she's California
Network for a Healthy California.
Oh, Network for a Healthy California.
Right,
okay.
Right.
There's so many different agencies.
There
names.
Are.
So, yeah, you come out and the market starts at 5.
Right.
And I think that this particular tasting lasts just an hour and a half. I think it goes from 5 until 6:30.
Right.
And then I think the awards, and what Maya had said was that the top 3 in the People's Choice Awards will be announced. And I think the as many of Worth Our Weight apprentices who would like to attend will then be introduced from the stage, because they're the ones who will have realized these. And there's a couple who are pretty comfortable talking, and I'm really looking forward to see what their waters are going to be like. One of them has mentioned maybe coconut.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Isn't that a great idea?
Yeah.
Because everybody's already buying coconut water. Waters. It's gotten so popular seems like the last year. And coconut is so, we now know.
It's so good for
it's
you.
It's so healthy, you know. Even coconut oil, which, you know, a decade ago.
Right.
It's like, oh my God, coconut oil, right. It will kill me.
Uh-huh.
It's actually really, really good for you.
Yeah. I cook with it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can finally find it.
It's true. And now there's Dr. Bronner's has a really good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Coconut oil.
Coconut oil.
It was interesting. In the summer of 98, I was in Sarawak, which is one of the two Malaysian states on the island of Borneo.
Wow.
I've told the story. Hope you're not bored. I've told the story on Mouthful more than once. But I was with one of my hosts who was the general manager of what was oddly called the Pepper Marketing Board. And it was so much more than the Pepper Marketing Board. They were actually processing black and white pepper and doing amazing research, both to do value-added products, but they were also trying to figure out a way to put higher quality pepper on the world market, higher quality and healthier pepper, because almost all the pepper in the world, even if it's grown organically, and a little, not a lot is, but a little bit at that time was, most of it is then sterilized with ethylene oxide, which is a petroleum product, and it's a pollutant. And in many cases, especially if it's coming to the United States, it's then irradiated.
Right.
And it's not labeled. We don't know that way. They don't have to tell us it's irradiated. So what they were doing, and they had very successfully done a number of studies and found out what to do. And basically it was, first of all, they paid farmers a premium to, because there were something like 4,000 peppercorn farmers in the state. And there was a habit, because like, say, apple juice concentrate, it's a world commodity. And pepper at that point was doing a 10-year cycle. So there'd be a peak and then there'd be a valley. And when there was a valley and the price was really bad, farmers would bundle up their pepper and throw it in their bedroom closet and not take it to market for 3, 4, or 5 years. And so what they wanted, part of their motivation was, how can we get farmers not to do that? And how can we keep the prices higher? So what they did was they paid a premium to any farmer who brought their pepper within 24 hours to the processing plant.
Oh.
24 hours after this, the pepper had been washed, dried with fans rather than put out in the sun, because most pepper is dried in the sun, and you know, kids ride their bikes through it and chickens run through it and birds fly over it. So within 48 hours of harvest, what they called their naturally clean black pepper was ready for market. And it's the most amazing black pepper you can imagine tasting. It has all of the flavors of black pepper, and then on top of what we're used to, it has all these high, pretty, I find them floral, just these very high, pretty floral notes. And then with the white pepper, instead of the way that white pepper would become white pepper is they tie it in a sack, throw it in the nearest body of water. It might be a stagnant pond. And for 7 to 10 days, the outer mantle and the outer mantle and the stems rot. And then they take it out and wash it, and then with their hands, they rub off any of the plant material that hasn't come off, and that's white pepper.
Wow, I always thought they were two separate.
No, from the same plant.
Wow.
Harvested at different times.
Very interesting.
So what the Pepper Marketing Board did was they got huge containers and got spring water that had no chemical runoff, because there's a lot of chemical runoff in the tropics. And so for 7 to 10 days, these peppercorns would be in these huge tubs with fresh spring water going over them constantly. And then they would get the plant material out, and then they would sort them according to both weight, because they're what you call light berries, and color, and they put creamy white pepper on the market. So it's this beautiful color, and it's just this fine, gorgeous white pepper. And there's a reason I was telling you this, and now I forget.
Pepper
water. Because of these really beautiful high notes, and then this almost fermented wine-like quality of the white pepper, you can put these peppercorns into water. You wouldn't want to do too much because you also get that heat, but you put some in, and the first thing I would try and will try is sliced strawberries with black pepper, because they're so good together.
Great.
I would think with lemon, like a lemon pepper.
Yeah, that's lemon and pepper, that would be delicious. And I would think blueberries or red grapes cut in half with some of the white pepper, because that those slightly fermented flavors of the white pepper go really well together.
I think you should enter in this contest.
Individuals can't enter. All they're doing is having the farmers, all of the, hopefully, I don't know how many are participating, but with luck, all of the farmers markets in the county will participate. And they're also hoping that then the markets will then, instead of just providing water for their customers, because I think most do, they have a big, you know, five gallon thing of water, start doing their signature water at the farmer's market instead of just plain water.
Great.
So what...
Do you want to try some strawberry
water? Oh, yes. That's what I knew we were going to do something. Please pour strawberry water.
Okay. I will.
It's so interesting how food processors, you know, do this to the food to ship it. And I think it's amazing. We don't know what we're missing, because
it was such a. I liked pepper already, or I wouldn't have. It was for a book I was doing on salt and pepper, or I wouldn't have bothered to write the book. But to find this pepper, and now there's no one. In fact, anyone out there is an importer interested in becoming one. There is no more of the black pepper in the United States. None of this particular black pepper.
All the pepper we buy has this process.
It has this process, and it doesn't, even the really good ones, the high-end ones, like some of the Telecherry.
What about organic?
And the organic peppers, they're better, but they don't have those floral top notes. I have tried every pepper, I think, that's imported into this country, because I'm obsessive about it. I'm looking for this pepper, and somebody found one source for it, but they have a minimum order of $2,500. And I haven't talked to anybody yet who's sort of interested in
like
going that
route. Like one of the spice produce, you know, one of the spice companies, you know.
Yeah,
in
I think somebody
area.
Like the one that has the little shop on Fifth and D. I think it is.
Yeah.
I was hoping that those people have been. They're very hard. It's very hard to get a hold of the people who actually own the company.
Sure.
So this is really nice.
It smells amazing.
I know. That's a child favorite. For sure.
Oh, I can definitely see why. It's like drinking strawberries.
It is.
But again, it's very, and this is just strawberries,
it's
right?
It's just strawberries, right.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, kids have such pristine palates. Mm-hmm. I can see them just.
And it tastes clean. It doesn't taste, very you know, clean. It doesn't taste like dirty water. It tastes so clean.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what's next with this program? Does this program and what you're doing just continue as it is? Or are there other components that will be rolled out?
Well, one of the other components is that we're actually developing more curriculums in order to teach people with CalFresh different issues, you know, about more about nutrition.
Oh, great.
So the real goal is to increase the fruits and number of fruits and vegetables people are eating and mm-hmm. to help people learn how to cut down on the processed foods that they're eating. And so we're doing a class on healthy snacks, eating on a budget. We're also doing one on healthy weight and then using MyPlate, which is the USDA new program. No longer are we using the pyramid. We're using the plate. So we're going to be teaching those classes and we'll do tastings. So mm-hmm. we'll be cooking and people will be getting to taste the foods that we cook and then we'll pass out recipes.
And how do people get in touch to find out about these programs if they want to?
So if the classes that we're teaching right now are for people who have CalFresh. So okay. we'll be going to the sites.
But okay, you'd be doing outreach.
We'll be doing outreach.
Okay.
But we're always looking for volunteers.
Oh.
And to help us. Uh-huh. And then if you're interested in volunteering, you can go to our website, which is Northern California Center for Wellbeing. And
spelled out Northern California?
Mm-hmm, you can spell it out okay. or NCCWB.
Okay.
We're on Tuscany Circle in Santa Rosa. And our phone number is 575-6043.
So that's 575-6043. That's great. Now,
right.
we've got one treat for you before we go. We have to try this smoothie that you made.
Yeah. It's mostly spinach, and then it has plums and peaches and apricots.
We're going to let you pour.
All right.
Here, let's take it. Good. Okay.
So the book was The Locavore's Dilemma in Praise of the 10,000 Mile Diet.
Thank you so much.
By Hiroki Shimizu.
There you go.
Shimizu,
yes. And I think she has written a cookbook, and I think she was a guest here on Mouthful 6 or 7 years ago. I've got to check. But yeah, The Locavore's Dilemma. It's interesting. It's an interesting comment. Mm-hmm. But you have to figure when anything gets really popular, someone comes along to discuss, you know, the other side.
That is good.
Mm-hmm. It's very good. And it's, I love the aroma.
Are there nuts in this?
There's almonds.
Oh my goodness, this is a full, delicious.
Yeah, and you know, I always tell people I get really cranky if I get hungry, so I...
Oh, so you keep that with you.
I love to just make that and just bring a small thing, so, you know, just keeps you going. Uh-huh.
Absolutely. Well, listen, thanks so much to both of you. We are just about out of time.
Thank you.
But I want to tell you again, it is all taking place. That is the Rethink Your Drink Flavored Water Competition. It is all taking place this Wednesday at the Farmers Market portion of the Wednesday Night Market. That is at E and 4th Street. The beverages that will be, the waters that will be voted on, I think are going to be situated right near the main stage. But I also believe there will be 3 different booths. So lots of information. And you'll be able to find it by the Dancing Vegetables. I think it's Dancing Fruit and Vegetables. So thanks so much. I will not be here next Sunday. Mouthful will be running a favorite archive for you, but I will be, I'll confess, I'll be at Rodney Strong Vineyards getting an opportunity to see the Reverend Al Green, something I absolutely could not pass up. Have a great week. I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher
Mouthful, the Wine Country's most delicious hour, is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan, who also selects Mouthful's music. Live episodes are engineered by Michael Young and occasionally by Mary Moore Campagna. Mark Fuller is Mouthful's recording and post-production engineer. Podcasts are available at iTunes and krcb.org. For more information, to suggest a guest, and to find out how to be a guest yourself, email catsmilk@sonic.net or send a message via Mouthful's Facebook page.
Dinner now, let's go.